since we're still standing, how about we all say the opening scripture together? It's from Genesis 22:14 and also Philippians 4:19, and it's the New American Standard Bible Version. Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. Oops, that's a oops. Sorry, hand is not as, I mean, that was the last week's that I forgot. Sorry. Okay, so Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said today, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Did yours, was yours good and mine was the one that was messed up?
Amen.
Was yours good out there?
Oh, good.
Oh, okay, so I could have just gone on and then just not. Okay, now you know. Ours is messed up. So, I'm imperfect. I'm not awesome like Debbie or Pastor to be, you know, Evelyn, so.
Don't even say my name.
Okay, all right, I won't. Okay, let's praise the Lord and worship.
Praise him. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Can you fathom his love? Can you really fathom his love? I know for me, I had a hard time fathoming his love for me. because of what was drilled in me, going to synagogue, going to synagogue, going to synagogue, and people saying, well, the Jews killed him. So I grew up with thinking he could never love me because I was one of those people that denied him. And I remember the first time taking the Passover as a Christian, we did it at our church. I couldn't get through it because of all the symbolic elements that are in there that I had learned about in synagogue. I have to pass a test, I got to learn it. But to actually do it and actually live it and understand why the matzah was crushed and why it was hidden and who found it got a prize. And just all of that just... And really, can we fathom the love that he has for us? And no matter what we do, because it doesn't matter what we do, it matters what he did for us.
Amen.
That's what matters.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He is worthy. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. We're going to continue to worship him with his tithes that's due to him and our offerings to him. Paul, will you come up and pray?
All right, let's continue the praise as we worship our Lord. This is an awesome time to praise him, even with our gifts. Father, we thank you that you are here with us. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. We come to worship you now again and continue with our tithes and offerings. We ask that you would bless the tithes and offerings and that they would be used to spread your word and your gospel and your mercy and salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your provisions. With your love, with your mercy, with your grace comes the provision. And so we'll lift us up, these tithes and offering to you, Father God. Please provide other places where it need be, Father God. Locally and internationally, Father God. Especially to those that answered your call. Thank you, Father God. Please multiply these blessings that came from our heart because you love us first. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
So, wow, are you like kind of like interested in how this message is going to go? Because the way the announcements went, I'm like, uh-oh, we're in trouble now. Oh my goodness, I'm like, okay, Lord, help me, Lord. Well, you know, the word for our church was provide. Power, I mean. And today we're going to go with okay. Heavenly Father, I need help. I need you to take my mouth and help me to remember. Lord, I just pray that you'll just touch the ears and correct anything if it isn't corrected. But Lord, I just need you. So Lord, I just pray that, because this is awesome, the message. And I just pray that you will just help it to go the way that you want. Lord, you know that I always surrender myself to you, wanting to be your vessel, your instrument. So fill me with your words. And I pray that you will touch the eyes, the ears, the hearts, the minds, the souls, the spirits of each one here, helping them to receive exactly what you want them to receive because you love each and every one so deeply. Each one is so incredibly special to you, as they are to me. So Lord, I pray that you will just fill this place with your love and your presence and the power of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So the word that we got for this year, power. And then the scripture that we got for this year, Acts 1:8. And the acronym that I got for power was provided only with enabled responsibility. So today we're going to talk about the word provided. Provided only with enabled responsibility. I want us to think of the word provided throughout this week and attach that, though, with the word power. There's so much in that for each of us to remember and what God has done for each of us. But I thought before I start this, I'm going to be like Evelyn. So Evelyn usually starts. So I'm going to get the shoes off. I'm kind of shorter. Pastor to be Evelyn. Don't have the black hair, but think of the black hair. And I'm going to start this message with a cute little story, as she usually does. A woman had just returned to her home from an evening of church services when she was startled by an intruder. She caught the man in the act of robbing her home of its valuables and yelled, "Stop! Acts 2:38. That scripture means repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that your sins may be forgiven. Well, the burglar stopped in his tracks. The woman calmly called the police and explained what she had done. As the officer cuffed the man to take him in, he asked the burglar, "Why did you just stand there? All the old lady did was yell a scripture to you." "Scripture?" replied the burglar. "She said she had an axe, a X, and 2 38s. Now, the side note, not knowing scripture can save your life in more ways than one. God provided the power of the address of Acts 2:38. God provided that man to perceive it and hear it in a way that it wasn't meant to be, and it made him freeze, and God showed the power of his word. So I just thought, did you like that, Pastor Debbie Evelyn? When I saw that, I thought of you, and I go, okay, I got to so share this. That God provides for us. And it is so awesome to see how he provides for us. I want to read to you Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 18. If you want to follow along, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. I love the power of his word. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 18. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. And the fire wasn't like on his hand, it was like in a little container thing. And then they went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar where there, and he placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." And it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided." Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." A key there is the obedience too, besides God being there providing. The Hebrew word in the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance for that provide in Genesis 22:8, it's from a primitive root to see, literally or figuratively, in numerous applications, direct and implied, transitive like intransitive. It means advise self, appear, approve, behold, but sometimes behold and certainly, you certainly behold it. Consider, discern, enjoy or make to enjoy. Have experience, gaze, take heed. Take heed, in other words, indeed, like you are really listening, you are just into it. You are listening to be obedient, taking heed. Or take heed joyfully, like you just, "Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for what you tell me. Wow, I am taking this in joyfully." To look on one another, to look out, to look up, to look upon, to mark, to meet, or to meet and plus be near, to perceive, to present, to provide, to regard, to have respect, see, foresee, cause to see, let see, seer, seem, see one another, show self, times plus like the sight of others, like in other words, like a spy, provided to be a spy, stare, plus like you're really looking at it, you're concentrating on it, just surely, you're just really thinking about it, to view visions. This is the power of this word of God uses for providing for each and every one of us. We have an awesome God who is all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent. As we learned about the right hand of God and the authority that he has, and that provision, all that meaning, all that deep, rich meaning of provide is ours. Now, in the Bing Dictionary, it says to supply somebody with something or be a source of something needed or wanted by somebody. To make something available to somebody. To supply means of subsistence. To require something in advance as a condition or as a part of a contract. To set down a stipulation, like in other words, like a deadline for completion. Synonyms for provide: give, present, endow, or present, grant, impart, bestow, furnish, offer, supply.
to take measures in preparation. Provide. God provides for us. He is the one that imparts to us. The impart, remember, God wants to impart always to us. Are we willing to receive what he wants to impart to us? He's there to provide for us. And remember, impart means to communicate information or knowledge, to give something particular, a particular quality. Well, the synonyms for that are pass on, communicate, inform, tell, convey, report, teach, instruct. He is there providing. His impartation to us was this living, breathing word. And when we listen to his voice and say, "Here I am, Lord," as Abraham was saying that, and obey even when it does not make sense whatsoever. Now remember, in that time, in some cultures, as there are some today, there were sacrifices. Sacrifices of children. But Abraham knew that God was a God of love, all-powerful, all-knowing. Abraham had already been through that test of knowing, like, okay, God, you promised me a son, and I'd have ancestry from this son, you know, that would outnumber the stars and the grains of sand, and okay, yeah, I got that. And so what did he do? He tried to, him and his wife thought up this plan to kind of help God out, because, like, you know, we know that you provide, God, but you realize we're getting older, and so we know what happened on that, right? We know what happened. And God took that, and he loved them and forgave them. But there are consequences. And then God showed, listen, I'm the God that created the heavens and the earth, that created all mankind, that created everything. I can handle this. And I can provide the strength for your wife to conceive a child at an old age, to bear that child, a healthy child, and even to be able to raise that child for a lot of that child's life. God took care of that, and Abraham knew all that. That was all there, all that history, all that experience that God had provided was there as he's going. It just doesn't make sense. But he goes up there, and he's being obedient to God, knowing that God could raise his son up from the dead or do something. He knew God would provide. He knew that in his heart when he was telling his son, God will provide. Yet he had to continue to go through until God said stop, to bind his son, to prepare the sacrificial altar. And there he was, saved, because God wanted to see, are you really going to obey me? Are you really going to obey me? How far? And God saw that Abraham was willing to obey no matter what. The strength was provided to Abraham to continue on. That strength came also from experience. He had experienced taking things in his own hands, but then he had experienced relinquishing to God, receiving God's love, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, but then continuing on, seeing his promise, knowing God had promised his son, and knowing that, okay, this doesn't make sense, God, but I'm going to just obey you. Because when I've tried to change it up, it hasn't gone well. So I'm just going to obey you, and I'm going to allow you to take control. And he did. He didn't waver. He trusted, believed. And that was provided to him, a way for that ram to be there. But that was foreseen. See, the Latin part of that word is strong. The pro and provide means forward or beforehand, before. And then the video, the provide, the last part is to see. So you have to foresee, to look after, to provide for. That strong word was used in this situation as he provided that lamb, that ram, for that sacrifice. But it was obedience. God knew all of that was there right before. Provide, in the Collins English Dictionary, says to put at the disposal of,
to furnish or supply, to equip, to afford, to yield, to take measure with due foresight, to take careful precautions. Our God supplies all of that. Are we listening to the Holy Spirit? Do you remember when Dick blessed us on January 5th with that last minute sermon, and it was so apropos, and he was talking about, are we seeing what the Lord says? Renew our vision. Help us to see when we first became a Christian, God, you have a plan and a purpose for us, and now we're joined into it when we became Christian. What is it? And help us to pursue that. And then he continues to guide us along the way. Are we listening? Are we really wanting to listen with a heart that is totally surrendered to him, saying, God, no matter what, I am yours. And I'm listening even when it doesn't make sense. Like moving here. For me, it didn't make sense. But I knew I had to call out to God because I did not want to move. I didn't want to move. I didn't want to move. I didn't want to move from my family, my friends, my job, my church. But I said, Lord, I also know that in the order that you have, please guide and direct my husband on what is your perfect will for us. Because I don't want my emotions and what I really want to get in the way. What I really deep down want is your perfect will. And so guide and direct my husband to your perfect will and what you want us to do. And as you see, we're here. Because if God had told me where I'd be today, back then, I definitely would have been very, very scared. But God gently took me along the path, the journey, as he did Abraham. And I learned a lot from experience. He provided that experience out of his love and care, just as he does for each one of us. Job chapter 26, verses 1 through 4 in the Message says this. The subtitle in New King James Version says, Job, man's frailty and God's majesty. I like that. And then the Message, the subtitle says, Job's defense, God sets boundaries between light and darkness. Well, listen to the first four verses in the Message. Job answered, well, you've certainly been a great help to a helpless man, talking to God. You came to the rescue just in the nick of time. What wonderful advice you've given to a mixed up man. What amazing insights you've provided. Isn't that true? Sometimes do you feel like you're kind of confused, mixed up on what should I do? You kind of see some decisions to make and you're just not sure which way. I mean, there's several options and which one is the best one? Which one do you want me to do, Lord? So you're kind of mixed up. Sometimes you maybe down and out and depressed and kind of frustrated or upset about a situation, but God is there. And the power of prayer and the power of his word and the power of trusting him, his faithfulness is always there to provide for us. But are we willing to look to him? Are we willing to seek him? But to take heed, surely taking heed, to certainly take heed in him, to be willing to say, you said that? Okay. Because I will admit that when Paul came to me and said he felt the Lord telling us to move, I was like, well, don't you think you need to do that Gideon fleece thing and like pray about it again? I mean, I really wanted to do that. But yet I knew. I knew. And I was like, then Lord, I need you to provide me the strength to say goodbye to my family and friends. Had it all worked out in my book, my sister and I, my bestest friend in the Lord too, my bestest sister friend in the Lord. God's just provided me with a neat, and she's my accountability. She's helped me so much. And we've helped each other through life's challenges. And then it was like, okay, I'll come there every 3 months. You come here every 3 months. We'll just switch off. Well, okay, that didn't happen. And we're lucky if it's once a year. And So I'm glad I didn't know that, because I had it all worked out. Okay, well then, if I have to do this in obedience to you, Lord, then I'm just going to kind of work this out to make it like less painful. Instead of trusting him to truly provide. But he understands. His understanding is unfathomable. And so he understands when you maybe tried to work things out and you felt, yes, you were to do this or that, or to move here or there, or to go to this job, or and it didn't make sense, but you just knew that you were supposed to do it. There was a story when I was looking up in this of this lady, and she was a single mom, and she was a brand new Christian. Her marriage, which she thought would be able to come out from the pits, didn't. It ended, and she wound up moving to another city, and she had to get another job, and she had been a homemaker with her small children for 5 years. And she was like, I'll probably just have to get to a clerk type job, but how am I even going to provide for me and my two small children? And she was trusting the Lord. And that baby Christian faith. I love baby Christian faith. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Or God said it, that settles it, I believe it. That, you know, hey, it's there. He said he's going to provide for me. He said he's there for me. And he just believed. Well, she did the same thing. She believed, just as a child does. And she trusted God and relied on him to provide for her. And she applied for a job from the following a nudging to apply for, like, I don't qualify for this job. But she obeyed the nudging of the Holy Spirit, applied for that job. And in the interview, through her life experiences that God had provided for her to go through, she got the job. It was exactly who they were looking for. The questions and how she answered, it was exactly who they were looking for. When she was going through that marriage that wound up not making it, that was the time that this company was growing and thinking of this and that and the other. And the rep that was saying, I just can't handle this kind of load. I think we need to think about hiring somebody else. At the time that she was going through all of this and going to need to be moving, God was providing that job. God was nudging her into a job that she didn't think she was qualified for. And God was arranging that the questions they asked would draw from her experiences of life. Didn't have to have this and that and the other on the paper. And he provided her with a job. A job that paid well enough to take care of her kids. And a job that provided a company vehicle where she was able to sell her old clunker of a car and be able to even use that money to be able to help with some startup costs when you move. God provided. God provides for us. And I want to read to you from Watchman Nee, A Table in the Wilderness. I love this when I found this daily devotions, meditations, because it is so apropos, because we're in the wilderness, in the desert, and so, but it says, Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided, Genesis 22:14. And he goes on to say, the only question Isaac is ever said to have asked of his own accord was, where is the lamb for a burnt offering? The answer was categorical. God will provide. This is typical of Isaac, whose privilege as heir was simply to receive what was freely bestowed by his father. He did not have to dig wells. The most required of him was to reopen those his father had dug. Nor indeed had he any say in his own marriage. He was not consulted about the woman and was not expected to make any efforts to seek her out. Even the tomb in which he was buried had already been purchased by his father. We too, like Isaac, have been born into a wealthy home. What God, our Father, has provided for us, we are expected to receive. The God of Isaac is our God, and he is not God the giver. And is he not God the giver? He is the God the giver. He is the one that owns everything. Everything, all that we have, all increase is his. And all the Lord asks for us in return is 10% of all increase. But then he asks us to lead by the leading of the Holy Spirit, follow that leading, listening to him. And then he loves generous givers. So then he wants us to be obedient, even when it doesn't make sense, in that way, and to give accordingly. And it pleases the God. It is worship when we obey. We have a God who wants to bring a revival, bring an awakening, bring a love revolution with his pure, awesome, wonderful, powerful love. And there is a book from Lou Engle called Digging the Wells of Revival. The foreword is by Tommy Tenney. Tommy Tenney, who wrote God Chasers. Chase after God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your spirit. And then the subtitle is Reclaiming Your Historic Inheritance Through Prophetic Intercession. So I am asking you to seek God's provision continuously that's already there. Just as with Isaac, all we have to do is re-dig up those wells. All we have to do is claim what God has given us. But it's going to take an effort. Isaac wasn't one that didn't have to do stuff and do some effort. He did. But the provision was there. God provided the means and the ways, and it was right there. So even though we did 24 days of fasting and prayer, pray that God will bring that as a regular act, something you are continuously doing, something that you are seeking him and fasting. Recommended once a week, something, whether it's a meal or something, and then spend that time of extra time in prayer, claiming, God, I thank you for your provisions. And I am reaching out as Isaac, saying, I am willing to redig that well, because I know you love the people around me that I see, the people that you've seen beforehand, you know, and you care for, and your son died for them. May I reach them, but may I always be used as your example, your hands and your feet, preaching the gospel always, but only if necessary, using words, because you are my God, the provider. As we see in Hebrews 11, we see so many that were men and women of faith. Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, and it says in the end of Hebrews 11, as we see that Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham obeying God, we see the example of Abraham and Isaac, we see the example of Moses and taking the people out of Egypt, the Israelites, his people. We see the examples of the walls of Jericho and Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophetess. And at the end, it says, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should be made perfect apart from us. And the message says, not one of these people, even through their lives of faith, were exemplary. Got their hands on what was promised. They were awesome men and women of God, but they didn't grasp what God had promised. Because God had a better plan for us, that their faith and our faith would come together to make one completed whole. Their lives of faith, not complete apart from us. See, God had promised, but he fulfilled that promise in a different way than they expected. And we can grasp onto this faith chapter and see them facing the challenges, seeing God work in miraculous ways, seeing God work at a woman who is a harlot, a prostitute. And she had faith because she had seen what that God did that provided for the Israelites. And she wanted to know that God. And she provided for them. God uses ways and means that you don't think may be a way and a mean. But I remember hearing a testimony of a pastor's wife, and she was led into going into a strip club. They were talking about reaching and helping others, and God kept putting that on her heart. And so finally she obeyed. She goes, God, it just doesn't make sense. But she went, and then she asked the owner of the strip club, can I just bring some like goodies for the ladies in the back? So while the ladies are getting ready, she would just go in the back and bring them goodies, find out what their favorites were of different things, and bless them with chocolate chip cookies if that was their favorite, or a candy bar if that was their favorite, or a meal that was their favorite, and just here and there, just building relationship, talking to them, not preaching the gospel, you're going to hell if you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. No, just loving on them, just as God would love them, just loving on them, listening to their stories. The God who understands is unfathomable, knows why they're there and how they got there. And the God that is the God that provides wanted to provide for them, so he was providing love through this pastor's wife who was willing to be obedient even when it didn't make sense. Even though some of the people we'd be talking at their church knowing she was going to a strip club and talking to these women. Some left the church. But some came to the church because they were willing to touch. And it was only because of the obedience to God. And that's where the favor and the provision came in. And eventually, some of the ladies were saved. And the provision to get out of that and to take care of sometimes their families. See, sometimes things don't make sense to us. But we need to stop trying to make sense. That provide in the Greek, when in that verse, Hebrews 11, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 40, that Greek word means to look out beforehand, to furnish in advance. And it comes from a word meaning for, or in front of, prior to, but figuratively superior. Before, the God Almighty, the supreme power, he is the one that provided for those men and women of faith who were willing to trust God even when it didn't make sense. And that word is attached to another word, behold, beware, to look on or to look to perceive, regard, see, sight, take heed. See, these men and women leaned on the Lord, the God who provided. Philippians chapter 4, many of us are familiar with that chapter. I love Philippians 4:13, and I think we all do. And Philippians 4:13 in the Amplified says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. And then it goes on to say, the Apostle Paul says, and my God will liberally supply, fill to the full, your every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. The expanded Bible says, my God will meet, supply, fulfill all your needs from according to his wonderful riches, his glorious riches, or riches in heaven and glory in Christ Jesus. The New Living Translation says, and this same God who takes care of me, the Apostle Paul is saying that, this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which we have been given through Jesus Christ in him. My God will use his glorious riches to give you everything you need. You will do this through Christ Jesus. That's the easy-to-read version. So I want to do one more story because I want you to see this story. The author is unknown. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. But I want you to just grasp the insight from this story. There once was a man who had nothing for his family to eat. He had an old shotgun and 3 bullets. So he decided that he would go out and kill something for dinner. As he went down the road, he saw a rabbit. And he shot at the rabbit and missed it. Then he saw a squirrel and fired a shot at the squirrel and missed it. As he went further, he saw a wild turkey in the tree. And he had only 1 bullet. But a voice came to him and said, "Pray first. Aim high and stay focused." However, at the same time, he saw a deer, which was a better kill. He brought the gun down and aimed at the deer. But then he saw a rattlesnake between his legs about to bite him. So he naturally brought the gun down further to shoot the rattlesnake. Still, the voice said again to him, "I said, pray, aim high, and stay focused." So the man decided to listen to the voice. He prayed, then aimed the gun high up in the tree and shot the wild turkey. The bullet bounced off the turkey and killed the deer. The handle fell off the gun and hit the snake in the head and killed it. And when the gun had gone off, it knocked him into a pond. When he stood up to look around, he had fish in his pockets, a dead deer and a turkey to eat. The snake, Satan, was dead simply because the man listened to God. Bottom line, it says in this story, pray first before you do anything. Aim and shoot high in your goals and stay focused on God. Never let others discourage you concerning your past. The past is exactly that, the past. Live every day, one day at a time. And remember that only God knows our future and that He will not put you through any more than you can bear. Do not look to man for your blessings, but look to the Lord. He can open doors for you that only He is able to do, as we heard the story of that single mother. Doors that you will not slip through, but doors that only He has prepared in advance for you in your favor. Wait and be still. Be patient. Keep God first, and everything else will follow. When Satan is knocking at your door, simply say, "Jesus, could you please get that for me?" Dick, I love that example that you had on January 5th about God provides. And you were saying about, is there a phone app for dial? And the guy said, "Yeah, there is." And I love the way you said, but God, with all these resources of technology, has the app. It's all provided for you through Jesus Christ, His Son. That app that you can add on that will provide for you the insight, the revelation. If you're willing to look at that app, if you're willing to read that app, if you're willing to listen to that app if you have it on sound, if you're willing to obey that app, because God has provided for you to touch the lives that He already prepared in advance for you to touch in your sphere of influence. And do not think that it's only physically of what you see. For if He draws somebody on your heart, then draw them up to Him in the power of prayer. If you cannot physically see them, if you cannot physically call them, pray. There is such power in prayer. For God has provided that power of prayer for each and every one of us. We need to remember as Moses. We need to remember, can you go to slide 104? Oh, I'm sorry, can you go to slide 100? Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. So we saw that example with Abraham. the trusting, Isaac trusting his father, the provision, because God will always provide it. It is not just might look, it may look different, in other words, not the way that we think, not what we had in mind, but it is provided with the colors of the rainbow. He has painted his promise over your life. And we need to have those hearts that are thankful to him, like a thank you card saying, Jehovah Jireh, thank you. Praising him and thanking him. We will join Abraham saying, Lord, thank you for this place, for you will provide. And we will call this place where this is on a hill, a mountain, the Lord will provide. Pathway of hope. The Lord will provide. You need to remember Jehovah Jireh, God the provider. He has provided the power of his word. But we need to remember to praise him, to recognize who he is, exuberantly, just enthusiastically acclaiming who he is, but yielding to the Holy Spirit as we pray, watching, listening, looking, obeying, and holding in that will be his thoughts filled with love that outnumber the grains of sand. But we have to trust him. We have to take his hand. We have to target like a dartboard, our target of our heart onto God, the God who provides. We need to trust him, and that trust needs to be see-through. We need to trust in Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, the God who provided the lamb for each and every one of us. For in that lamb, there is the power of resurrection. There is the power for living and continuing on because of what Jesus did for us. So we celebrate daily the birth of Jesus, but we celebrate daily the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The gift continues to go on and on and on. So let us prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. And Paul, can you hand those out? You know that song, He is Able? Do you know that one? I want to sing that right now. Yes, please, pass it out. And remember, in this time, you're preparing your heart, like saying, Holy Spirit, is there anything that I need to confess? Any unforgiveness, bitterness? Just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal. I'll try to sing this at a lower key.
He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way.
Isn't he awesome? Our God, the God who provides for each and every one of us. He is the one that is able to provide for us continuously. And we need to trust him and rely on him. For he is there for each and every one of us, just as he was when he provided Jesus for us. So that now we don't have to worry about all those sacrifices. Instead, just trusting in, believing and receiving what Jesus did for us. He did that for each and every one of us. And we need to walk in that. Because every time we need to remember that when we take and partake of this bread and drink this cup, we are proclaiming his death till he comes again, praising him and thanking him that by his blood we are washed whiter than snow. We are thanking him and praising him for the power of the blood, for the power of the body that was broken for us, for the power of the resurrection that continues to help us to live each and every day. So on that night, the Last Supper, Jesus, the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake together. Thank you, Jesus. And I just pray that you will just heal us anywhere that we need it, Lord. And I pray for the healing of those that are not here, Lord, that are missing, that are ill. I pray for healing for them too, Lord. Each one. Bless them and heal and minister to them. Dean and Kay and Carl and Melissa and Eric. Those that are not here because of illness, Lord, I pray that you will be with them. Touch them and heal them. And then the Lord, in the same manner, he took the cup after supper. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So let's partake together. Jesus provided far more revealing signs that are written down in this book. And we need to just remember that there are going to be far more miracles, signs and wonders, as God has called Pathway of Hope to be a house of prayer, healings and salvation center, as we continue to join together, humbly submitting to the Lord's leading, listening to him, hearing him, obeying him, and knowing that he has provided anything that he's called you to do. He will lead you and guide you, but he is the one that will provide for you. We just need to have those hearts that are obedient to him. Are you there? The power of what we just did, this communion time, the Lord's Supper, reminds us of what we have in and through him and by him and for his glory. So let us continue to walk in that power. I want to have the prayer altar ministry, and then we'll have a last song, a worship song. And so I want us to, in this time, to really draw our hearts to him with thankfulness and praise, shouts of acclamation, hearts that are totally his, and thanking him for what he has for us in this week to come, remembering that we will fellowship together Saturday, 6 o'clock, here, February 8th, for food and fellowship, for a time of also sharing anything that you've received from the Lord. We need to remember our Lord God is almighty and he is our provider. I'm going to get Pastor Janet and I'm going to... Oh. Do you need me in there?
Reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness stretches to the sky. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountain. Thank you. reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the sky. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountain.
His faithfulness stretches to the skies. Mm. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Well, as Pastor Karen comes up and closes us with a benediction of encouragement and blessings, let's remember this week that He's our provider.
Amen.
And it just does not mean of things, but
yes,
our provider of what we need.
Yes.
For the asking.
Mm-hmm.
For the asking. So petition Him and what's on your heart and what's on your minds this week.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I truly thank you for each one that is here and those that are listening, Lord. I thank you and praise you for your awesome, wonderful love for us, that you have provided for us with the power that it has. All the fullness of you is provided for us each and every day. And Lord, I thank you for the power of your word. And so I claim and declare, pray over each one. Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. Lord, may you, Lord, bless each one. Watch over each one. Guard each one and keep each one. May you, Lord, make your face to shine upon and enlighten each one. Be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor unto each one. And may you, Lord, lift up
your approving countenance upon each one and give each your peace. For we praise you and thank you that the peace that you give, Lord God, is through Jesus. It is not like the world gives. This peace that you give us in Jesus will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ as we continue to lean ourselves and trust you completely, depending on you, for you provide for us. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.